The date is now October the 17th, 520 BC. 7 weeks since Haggai's first sermon, and 26 days since our previous reading. And work on rebuilding the temple has been going steadily. Well, almost steadily. It had been interrupted several times. Because the first day of the seventh month in the Old Testament was the Feast of Trumpets, the day on when trumpets would be blown and the people would gather together and offer up sacrifices to God. But like all festival days of the Old Testament, that meant that it was a day of solemn rest, a day of no work. And the tenth day of the seventh month was the Day of Atonement, the day when the high priest was supposed to go into the temple each year to sprinkle blood on the ark itself. It was again a day of rest, and the only day in which Israel was commanded to fast in the Old Testament. And starting on the 15th day of the month was the Feast of Booths, where Israel was commanded for an entire week, 7 whole days, to live in booths, to live in tents outside as a reminder of their wandering in the wilderness. So that's 7 whole days of no work at all. Add on top of that the regular Sabbath days, which were also days of no work, and it meant that out of the 26, they were really only able to work for 14, basically half the time. So while they were eager to get going, they hadn't gotten very far. And that was no doubt frustrating for the people. But as irritating as these interruptions might have been, they were also frustrated by how the work itself was going. They no doubt thought that they were doing their best, and I'm sure that they were. But this temple seemed so inferior to the first one. We hear in verse 3 of our reading, "Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes?" That first temple was so glorious, but this one seemed so common. That first temple was so great, but this one seemed so small. Kind of like when you see a picture, like a craft or a project, or even maybe some food, picture of some food at a restaurant when you're getting ready to eat. And it looks so good, and it looks so beautiful. But when you finally make it yourself, or when it comes to you, it's nothing like what you expected it to be. That was basically what was happening here. They had this picture in their minds of a temple that was so beautiful, that was so grand and glorious, and this one looked nothing like it. That was discouraging all by itself. But probably their disappointment was only made worse, Christians, by the fact that they were celebrating the Feast of Booths itself. Because exactly 440 years earlier, on the Feast of Booths, the first temple had been dedicated. We hear in 1 Kings chapter 8, "And all the men of Israel assembled to King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month." At that time, all those centuries ago, the ark had been put in place. At that time, Solomon had prayed, and tens of thousands of sacrifices had been made. It was truly a glorious thing. But what was this compared to that? This seemed to be a disappointment, almost like a failure. As Zechariah, who lived at the same time as Haggai, said, it was a day of small things. So on the last day of the Feast of Booths then, probably when the spirits of the people were at their very lowest, Haggai stood up again to proclaim the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "Be strong. Be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all you people. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts." Though this work seems to be as nothing in your eyes, keep working. Keep going. My spirit is still in your midst, declares the Lord. I have not abandoned you. And though this day may seem to be small in your eyes, it is not small in the eyes of God. Because the Lord was going to shake all things, Haggai declared. The Lord was going to shake all nations. And then all the treasures of the nations would come in. Then the great desire of nations would come. And when that happened, Haggai said, this house will be filled with the glory of the Lord in a way that the first house, the first temple, never was. As we hear in verse 9, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And the latter glory would be greater because the great desire of nations would come. Christ would come to his people, and he would gather in all the nations. And the glory of those days would be far greater than everything that went before, even to the point that all the former glory seemed like nothing at all. They could look forward to something far greater than the old temple. They could look forward to the fulfillment of the promises of God. They could look forward to the salvation of the nations. They could look forward to the coming kingdom. And when it finally came, they would see how important their day of small things really was. They could see that their labor, though it seemed like nothing at the time, looked forward to something more. And Christians, how often does our own day seem like nothing in our eyes? How often does it feel like we too are living in a day of small things? I mean, just go back 100 years ago and think about how different things used to be. 100 years ago, there were pastors traveling great distances, 100 miles or more, to preach the gospel, going through all kinds of weather, sometimes even nearly dying, so that the word of the Lord would be heard by all, and all could be saved. They planted churches throughout this land, some of which are no longer there. And what are we compared to them? But even if you haven't waded through all the old records the way that I have no doubt that sometimes you feel the same way. We can still remember when the churches were full. We can remember when it was hard to find a seat on Sunday morning. We can remember when money was never an issue. We can remember when the confirmation classes had 12 kids every year. It seemed like people cared more about God then. It seemed like people went to church more often. And what is our day compared to that? Seems like a shadow, like nothing, like a day of small things. It's easy to think that it's all simply coming to an end, that there is no point, there is no hope at all. Why should we do God's work when things are like this? Our efforts seem so small. They seem so insignificant. Almost like we've done nothing at all. But the Spirit is still in our midst, Christians. God is still with us. And though this may be a day of small things, God has not abandoned His church. Therefore, be strong. Fear not. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Your work may seem small in your own eyes, but it is precious in the eyes of God. Because all heaven rejoices, Christians, over every sinner who repents and comes back to God. All the angels sing for joy over even one lost lamb who comes back home. And if God uses you to save one and only one person, that is truly a great thing. And besides, Christians, we wait for the day when God will shake the heavens and the earth. The day when the sky, when the stars will fall, the day when the sky will be rolled up like a scroll, and then the Son of Man will appear in all His glory, and every eye will see Him. And the glory of those days will be the greatest of all. Because on that day, God will be all in all. On that day, every knee will bow and call Jesus Christ Lord. And on that day, there will be no more suffering or pain or death. And on that day, Christians, God will give an unfading crown of glory to all who have worked for Him. So keep going. Keep working. Do not despise the day of small things, because God will use it to His everlasting glory, both now and in the age to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who does not forget all that we do for You, give us the strength to carry out Your work, knowing that You are in our midst forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.